You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading. Today, we are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
And today is the 19th day of March 2021. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. And I'm opening up the chat room now for people to use that at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. So today we're going to be reading part one of chapter six of the Holy Priesthood, volume three. And the whole chapter is Our Mother in Heaven. I split it up into two readings. I'd like to be able to get the whole thing today, but I don't think I'll be able to. We'll see. The second part is the subheading is the King and Queen of Heaven. So that'll be interesting. Now, we're going to go over some history here. And we're also going to be reading quotes from outside of the Restoration and within the Restoration. Now, I don't believe that everybody's opinion is doctrine on this. I know that we have a Mother in Heaven, and I want to talk about that as well. But, you know, I'm reading Ogden Kraut's books, and he is a Mormon fundamentalist. And I agree with a lot of things that he believed, but there's a lot of things that I do not agree with. For instance, I don't believe Brigham Young was the Lord's anointed. I don't believe John Taylor was the Lord's anointed either. I do believe John Taylor was a prophet. You can be a prophet without being the Lord's anointed. And I was thinking about this the other day, and I'll dedicate the program in a minute, but I was thinking about this the other day. During the days of Jeremiah, there were actually many prophets in the land. Okay, Lehi was one of them. Jeremiah was one of them. There were a bunch of different, I think Nehemiah was one of them. There was a couple of other ones, too, that we know of. Now, there have been literally thousands and thousands and thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of prophets on the earth since the beginning of time. We don't know about them because they were prophets where God led them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they had a message for the people, because God wants to speak to all of his people. When there was two prophets prophesying in the camp of Israel, there was like a little bit of controversy about it until Moses was like, would to God that God wants all of his children to be prophets. We know in the book of Revelation, the testimony of Jesus Christ comes by the spirit of prophecy, or in other words, the testimony of Revelation. There's so much, like John chapter 1, verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will speak to you. There's so much. I mean, God wants us all to be prophets. He's not just leaving us out here to hang by ourselves, but we need to cultivate that relationship with him so that we can hear his word and learn how to receive confirmation of the Spirit. God sent the Spirit to testify of truth, to bring you to the Son, so that through the redemption of the Son, you can come back into the presence of the Father. And there are different levels of being prophets. You can be a true prophet. You can be a false prophet. You can be a fallen prophet. Joseph Smith taught that when you are a seer, that you can fall and lose your gift from God, but you'll still retain that gift of being a seer. It's just that you'll receive revelation through a bad source or through a different source. We, as God's children, he wants to speak to us, who became Satan. He wants to speak to us too, to get us off track. So the reason I bring that up before I start the reading today is because there is corrupted truth that we're going to be reading throughout time in history about Heavenly Mother. And just because there is corruption doesn't mean that she doesn't exist, and it doesn't mean that it's not good that we know about. I mean, we should know about her. She's part of our family. She is our mother in heaven. And these opinions that come through the patriarchy are opinions that I believe are not good. And we're going to read some of them from like Brigham Young and other people that I can't stand them, but we're going to read them anyway. And then we'll read about the history and all of that. The other thing I wanted to say too is during the Catholic, or when the Catholics hijacked Christianity, they did that because Satan wanted to get his claws into Christianity. And they perverted many things. And we, as a people, have inherited lies because of what happened. And we've inherited traditions because of what happened. And if you think that the restoration is over with, I've got other news for you. Joseph Smith did not finish all that what needed to be finished in the restoration. In fact, if the temple in Nauvoo had been built where the Father or the Most High could come dwell therein that he might restore the fullness of the priesthood, Jesus said there would be things that happened. Things would be revealed that had been kept, hidden since before the foundation of the earth. So things that we have never had in Scripture would be revealed, because there is more to the society of God and the gods than what we understand. Some of us have had it revealed to us. There's a lot of things that still need to be revealed. And just because we don't find it in Scripture, because the Scriptures have been perverted, and just because God hasn't finished the restoration, doesn't mean there isn't truth to be had. So we're going to talk about those things as well. So, all right. Now, my son is here. I watch him every Monday and Friday because the babysitter can watch him Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So he's here. He's actually right next to me. I put The Good Dinosaur on for him to watch, and it's low in the background. There might be a little bit of background noise, but it's just enough for him to be able to hear it and be happy, because he loves dinosaurs. We've been watching Cars all day, and he loves it. But The Good Dinosaur actually keeps his interest better than Cars does. But he's like literally laying right next to me. And just real quick, I think it's funny. So I live on a farm. We have 10 acres. We have chickens. We are the world's worst farmers. We do not like to kill animals unless we have to eat them. And that's part of the belief system that I have, where you actually are accountable for every animal that you kill. So if you waste the meat. And so we've got chickens, and we have an incubator, and we like to raise baby chickens, and we raise them up, and then the ladies, they give us eggs, and the hens give us eggs, and we eat the eggs. But when you get too many roosters, they fight, and they kill each other, and we had too many roosters. So we took five of them out of the chicken coop. And we got a big old chicken coop. Anyway, so they live in the yard, and we feed them, and they stay around. They run around. They actually eat mice and bugs and all kinds of stuff. But I've got a six-year-old and a seven-year-old who are terrified of these chickens, because these roosters will chase my daughters around. Now, they don't do that to me, because I will, like, chase them around and try to pick them up and pet them, and they hate that. And I always tell my daughter, stop running from them. If you try to pick them up, they will not want to be near you. If they come near you and you, like, chase them, they will run from you. But my daughters, I was out there yesterday, and I was like, get them. Get them, and my daughter Eliza would like run towards the rooster, and then she would stop about 4 feet from it and then run away. It's funny. And the only reason I'm bringing it up is because it's been a while since I've watched The Good Dinosaur, but Arlo in the movie, he's the youngest and smallest of the dinosaurs. And he's always getting chased by the chickens, because they're farmers too. And I just thought it was funny. And I don't know. Anyway, let's get into the reading. I'll dedicate the program, and I'll start the reading. And like I said, anybody who wants to call in, if you call in to the phone number, and it's a Manhattan, New York phone number, you can also use Skype to call in. I have people that call in overseas just to listen. And sometimes they want to talk. The phone number that I have for the radio show is Manhattan, New York. So if you do call in, you can listen. There are over 100 lines, or I think there's actually 100 lines available for people just to listen. If you want to be on the program to give any conversation points or any bring up any points, whatever, just push one, and I will see it on the studio, and when I'll unmute you as soon as I can. Also, you can ask questions in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon, and the link is in the description for the event that I created for the program. So just to let people know that that's a possibility for doctrinal questions. All right. Here, Arius, take it. Okay. Are you going to drink it or play with it? All right. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, that we might come unto thee more fully, to help us to be more obedient to thine instruction that thou hast given unto us, that we may turn away from sin and evil and wickedness and iniquity, that we may be thy people, that we may be tools in thine hand for the redemption of Zion, that thy kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. We love thee, Father, and we thank thee for the prophet Joseph Smith, for restoring all that he was able to restore, and for our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, for his willingness to be obedient to thy will, that we might come into thy presence again. We love thee, Father, and we ask for thy blessing to be upon us, and do so in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, even Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, don't play with that, Arius. He'll be 2 in June, so that's what we're dealing with here. And this, as far as I'm concerned, this is my favorite age. Between 1 to 3-ish, oh my gosh, they are so cute. I mean, 4, 5, 6. I mean, I love all my kids, but he's a boy, and he is going to get into trouble and fall off the bed if he doesn't stop doing what he's doing. Here, over here. Come over on this side. All right. Also, my wife is on the line. She's just muted, so she'll probably break in and say some things from time to time. Our Mother in Heaven, Part 1 of Chapter 6 of Holy Priesthood, Volume 3, pages 78 through 87. Goddess Worship. As demands for women's rights have escalated, some women have begun to give too much respect, honor, and even worship to others of their own sex. A new stage has been set for the worship of Our Mother in Heaven, because Father in Heaven is a man. Consider the following expressions of a few of today's women in this regard. Quote, Jesus taught that doing the will of God is more important than worship. If we want to worship the mother, we must do the work of the mother, and if we do the work of the mother, we worship her. Her work is the same as his work. They are one God. End quote. Jennifer Allred, Towards a Mormon Theology of God the Mother, quoted in Women and Authority, page 275. If like begets like, then we, as women, shall certainly never become like God the Father. To whom do we turn? Hold on. Okay, I got kicked off the line here. Let me, hold on, Arius, stop. What are you doing? Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's good. Sorry, my cell phone service decided it didn't want to work for some reason. I'm trying to bring my wife into the studio. Oh, I think I'm doing something wrong. So I usually merge my wife with my phone call, but for some reason, when my phone dropped, it dropped her too. Well, that's not it. Okay, hold on here. I can't remember how to... I can call people using this this studio for guest call-in stuff. Oh, it's here. I found the button. Hold on. I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to call my wife here. Oh my gosh, Arius. He just dumped. his drink all over himself and all over me. Because, so I have this plastic desk on the bed that I'm holding everything up with. And he wants to be underneath of the desk with me. So he's like wiggling his way into, hold on here. Okay. He's wiggling his way into underneath the thing. So he's laying down and he's like trying to drink his drink, which is my drink, which is not a sippy cup. Oh, all right. My wife.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Sorry.
Okay, so I just patched you directly into the studio, so if my phone drops again, you don't drop off on the call yourself.
Okay.
Okay, anyway, Arius just grabbed my drink as he's laying down, and he, you know that plastic desk thing that I don't even know where it came from? That you can put on the bed and it like has a little drink holder and it's got like a place for your computer and all of that. So Arius, so he's laying on the bed with pillows underneath of him, and he grabbed my drink and spilled it all over his face and all over his chest. What are you doing?
So he was surprised.
Yeah, he's like, uh-huh. All right, so hopefully, I did, when it dropped the call, I hurried up and put it in airplane mode so it would find new towers. So hopefully I don't drop anymore. But if I do start to break up, can you please let me know that I'm breaking up so that I can, like, try to fix it?
Okay, you were, like, a minute ago, but you're not now.
Okay, yeah, like I said, I pushed. So, people out there, instead of just resetting your phones, like when your phone is driving you insane because it's not giving you good cell phone reception, if you just push airplane mode on your phone, it will reset the towers on the phone without having to reset your whole phone. So, hopefully, like most of the time, we don't break up with me sitting in the bedroom, you know, on my bed. But sometimes we do. So I just did that. I just reset the phone. So hopefully we don't have any more issues. But let's see. I'll get back into the reading. Jesus taught that doing the will of God is more important than formal worship. If we want to worship the mother, we must do the work of the mother. And if we do the work of the mother, we worship her. Arius, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh. Okay, come here, over here. He's, like, turning around underneath the desk and sticking his butt up in the air and knocking everything over. Okay, sit down right here. Come on, over here. Sit down right here. Okay, you can just stay there. All right. All right, I wanted to say something real quick. The word that the root word of the word worship in Hebrew actually means to bow yourself down and submit yourself. So it's kind of funny when they do the praise and worship music at church, like if you go to a Christian church, they, oh, praise and worship, and they like, they think it's the same word. The root word of the Hebrew word for praise means to lift up and exalt. And the word worship means to submit yourself and humble yourself and bow down before your king. So if we're going to worship truly, it's more than just going to church. It's actually submitting yourself to God's will so that you can be obedient to him. That's what worship really means. So, like I said, I like to study a lot, and one of the things I like to do is when I decide to, when I find a word in the scriptures and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that means, I will go and find it. I've got a Strong's Concordance, and I've got Hebrew dictionaries and stuff, and I will go find out what the word is, and I will learn what it means. So I don't like the Strong's Concordance too much because I don't want to get too much into it, but the people who created the Strong's Concordance, they didn't find out what the words were in Hebrew that were translated into English. What they did is they took the word in English and they went back into Hebrew and they found out what that word was. So it's not accurate. If there was like Hebrew will have like 12 different words for the word for one word that we have, which is love. There's different kinds of love in Hebrew. you know, there's 12 different words for the one word that we use in love. So if, oh my gosh, Arius, stop. Why are you doing that? Kim, I am pretty sure that Arius has ants in his pants.
He has what?
Ants in his pants. And I don't know. Anyway, all right, getting back into the reading. We must do the work of the mother, and if we do the work of the mother, we worship her. We do not bow down to the mother and submit ourselves to her instruction because the father's the one that gives the instruction. So how can we worship somebody who doesn't give us, because that's all part of worship. Worship in Hebrew means to submit yourself to the will of the one who has the authority, who is giving the instructions, who is making the rules. The mother doesn't give the rules. She doesn't make the rules. But she is one with the father, but we submit ourselves to the will of the father, and that is how true worship happens. So anyway, but Gentiles got to be Gentiles, and they've got to use words that they don't understand. So her work is the same as his work. They are one God, and that's true. But anyway, that's Janice Allred, Towards a Mormon Theology of God. The mother is quoted in Women in Authority, page 275. All right, let's see here. If like beget like, then we as women shall certainly never become like God the Father. And that's true. Like this whole idea that you can come back as a female or you can be possessed by female demons. Like, I'm sorry. No, that's not how it works. What I've said, and this comes from what I have been shown personally. So I wanted to know what it meant, where God was before the Big Bang Theory. And I asked, you know, I asked God about these questions, and God showed me that all of the elements are eternal and all of the energy is eternal and the intelligence is eternal. And that when we become a spirit, when we're born and we become self-aware, the energy of the masculine and the energy of the feminine within the intelligence separates, and you've got a female spirit and a male spirit. They do not change. If you are a female, it is because when you and your soulmate, the other spirit that came from the intelligence separated, the natural process of that separation is that the feminine energy separates into the feminine spirit and the masculine energy separates into the masculine spirit. Now, the masculine can have some feminine and the feminine can have some masculine, but the overall of the spirit is either feminine or masculine. So this whole idea that has been promulgated by some Gentiles and even misinformed saints is that you can become a male or a female or a hermaphrodite or something to that effect, and that's not. There is a perfect balance, but just because you become just because there is a perfect balance doesn't mean that that the masculine ever becomes a female. And it doesn't mean that the feminine ever becomes a male. And the whole thing with ceilings, in order for a spirit to become eternal again, as it was before the intelligence separated, the feminine and the masculine have to be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. When that happens, the feminine and the masculine, the spirits do not, they become eternal again. They do not get to the point where eventually they cease to exist. But the male without the female will eventually cease to exist, and the female without the male will eventually cease to exist. All right. Arius, I cannot do this with Arius being the way he is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the desk over here, and I can still see the studio, but he wants to like be into the desk with Dad, but there's not enough room for both of us. So, all right. Hopefully he doesn't mess with the studio. I can still see the studio though. So if like beget like, then we as women shall certainly never become like God the Father. To whom do we turn for a perfect identity? I can't help but feel cheated about my lack of knowledge of her, meaning of our mother in heaven. I wonder why she isn't allowed to speak, to guide and direct and console her daughters. End quote. Karen Sorensen Smith, Truth is Reason, Truth Eternal, Dialogue 9-4, Winter 1974, page 5. Okay, Kim. Hello, Kim. When Kim gets around to getting back on the phone, I think she's busy doing things, so she might not be able to talk. I wanted her to talk about Heavenly Mother a little bit and how she does talk to her daughters from time to time. Right. So she was talking about that the other day, and I think it's beneficial. Okay. At our ward conference, our stake president said that in our stake there was a problem with praying to the mother in heaven. He explained that there would be one authority or head of the church, one head of the stake, one head of the ward, one head of the family. In effect, if children don't know who's in charge, they get confused. Having a female at the father's side creates confusion. And I'm going to say something about this because this is, I don't agree with this, but I'll just say this in a minute. I'll continue on with the quote. He said that believing in mother in heaven, and or including her in our prayers was of Satan. Okay, that's his opinion. Mary O. Stanley is quoted in Emerging Discourse of Divine Feminine, Women in Authority, pages 259 through 260. Now, we did have an area code 909 call in. If you do want to be on the program, push 1 and I'll bring you up. If not, then that's fine. You can just stay in the studio and listen. All right. I've got to say this too. Okay, in my family, with my wife, I consider her my greatest counselor. I've had authority where I have had counselors, but she, my wife, is filled to me. She is my helpmeet. She is my greatest counselor. So this whole idea that women can't be in charge, that, first of all, that comes from pagan Rome. It was inserted into Christianity after Rome hijacked the Christian church. And the scriptures that talk about women being silent and in all subjection and blah, blah, blah in church, they were not in the earliest codexes and manuscripts of the Bible. This was added by pagan Rome after they hijacked early Christianity. So this, and so this idea that women should shut their mouths at home is wrong. The stake president has opinions, and talking and praying to Heavenly Mother has nothing to do with Satan. In fact, Satan wants to erase her out of history so that we don't know about her. He doesn't want you to speak to her, but she has free will and free agency, and she can speak to you. And if my wife would ever unmute her phone, we could hear Kim talk about that a little bit. So I don't know if Kim's listening or if she
about
like
what?
Walked
say that
away.
Again. No, I didn't
okay.
walk away. I'm doing all of the things.
Well,
sorry.
I know, and I told everybody you're probably doing all the things. So this fake president, he said that that talking to Heavenly Mother is of Satan. And that we should not be talking to our Heavenly Mother. I know you don't agree with that. I wanted you to speak to that.
No, I don't remember him saying that. Like, I wasn't there, I guess.
No, not ours. I was reading the book that I'm reading. In the reading, Ogden Kraut quoted a stake president, and the stake president, if you had been listening, said that praying to Heavenly Mother is of Satan.
I hard to disagree with that, because when I finally got my head out my butt and I tried and was trying to communicate, and then I was able to get my own personal
revelation.
So
and
I'm trying to
listen
in the park. Yeah, and so sorry, I'm trying to fit something into the car.
Did you buy something on a website or on a Facebook thing?
No. I am at Walmart, and we couldn't find the pitchfork, and I want to make sure we at least have one. So I got a Cooper Scooper one so that we could clean out the goat's pen even. So, but I had to, like, fit it in the right way so that it would not stab the feet, you know?
Oh, yeah. Are you at Walmart? They sell pitchfork forks at Walmart or at Tractor Supply?
No, at Walmart, because I knew that they had them here, and they're probably, like, $20 cheaper. So.
Oh,
and also,
sure.
I grabbed some drinks because I knew that the kids were going to be, like, thirsty, and there would always be, like, a reason, so I'm getting rid of all the reasons for them to not do what
yeah,
I need to
they
do.
They don't want to clean out the goat's pen. We have to clean out this trailer that we transport hay in. So, anyway, that Kim's preparing for that because we've got to use the trailer to haul the junk and do the stuff. Anyway, all right. I guess I'll just continue reading. I just wanted to get – so what Kim's
well,
talking
yeah, so
about
all I
was
saying
–
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, like, what I was saying was that when I first got any revelation that I was trying to get, like, I was trying to be more aware of God and of Heavenly Mother, but I wasn't specifically praying to her, actually, at the time. But when I did get revelation, I felt this impression like it was from her, and when I confirmed that, then I was all excited and happy about it, because the feeling I got from her was like, finally, you're listening to me, because it didn't occur to me to pray to her. So
well,
that's probably what it was, and then she was finally like, yay.
Well, we've talked about this week and last week. So Kim in the middle of the night when I was driving my semi-truck up through Soldier Summit, going to, between Spanish Fork, where we lived, and Price, Utah, where I used to deliver the mail. She calls me one night at 3 in the morning. So I used to do my radio show from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. every night, because that's when I had off, and that when I did the mail, I had from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. off every day, and then I had from 6 p.m. to 3 p.m. off every day, and it was like a split shift. And so I did. We finished the phone call, the radio show, and I was in the post office at 2:05 loading my semi truck. I left at 2:30, and I was making my way up the canyon. And I was past the rest area, so it had to have been around 3:30 in the morning. And usually I don't get cell phone reception in that area. Well, Kim called me, and she was asking me questions about, and she knows that I've received many Thus Saith the Lord revelations and visions, and God has showed me a lot of things and given me lots of instruction on different topics. And she knows that God is no respecter of persons, and that she wanted to understand better how to receive her own personal written revelation. So we were talking about that, and as we were talking about that, I began to receive a revelation from Heavenly Father. And so as I was driving, I had Kim pull out a pen and a paper and have her write it down as I was receiving it from Heavenly Father. And in this revelation, which I have read on the air a couple of episodes ago, and I've read it a couple of times in the last 2 weeks, I was instructed to give matriarchal priesthood to my wife. So after she received matriarchal priesthood, after I gave that to her, because I have been given the keys to the kingdom and the priesthood, that happened when I saw the Father and the Son face to face in the flesh in 2003, I received by the laying on of hands the fullness of the priesthood. I was sealed up unto eternal life, which means I was sealed to the Father and given my calling election. And also, I was given the keys to the kingdom and the priesthood. So I have the authority to do this. I didn't know that I could do this until God told me to do it. It's kind of like when God told me to seal up the temple lot in Independence. Like I was very surprised that he told me to do that, because I didn't think I had the authority to do that. So anyway, long story short, Kim is a queen and a priestess in the matriarchal priesthood. She has received her first and her second endowments, her anointings. She's received the fullness of the priesthood. And after that point, she received revelation directly from Heavenly Mother. And she has used her priesthood, the fullness of her priesthood, but she's also received revelation from Heavenly Mother. And she has confirmed that, and I have confirmed those revelations by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So that's why she's talking about it. And that's why I wanted Kim's thoughts and ideas and opinions, and what she has to say about that. That's why I value her as my counselor and my helpmeet, but also as a prophetess and also an eyewitness of the Father, she's an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. What, Arius? He says, Daddy, what do you want? Oh, yeah, it's dinosaurs, huh? He loves dinosaurs. Anyway, continuing on. In and out of Mormonism, what? I'm trying to read a book. What? I know, I see the dinosaurs. Maybe it wasn't the greatest idea to, like, because he wants me to watch and he loves it. He loves the dinosaurs. Anyway, in and out of Mormonism, men have identified with the gender of God the Father. In Mormonism, there is a literal identification between their bodies and the body of God. And now women have begun to identify with God the Mother. It is an it is an empowering experience to see your body in the body of God, or in the body of a God. Some of us pray to a mother God because we believe she is talking to us. End quote by Lynn K. Whitesides in Finding Our Bodies, Heart Voice, University of Utah, May 1992, quoted in Women of Authority, page 261. Mr. Tom Schneider joined the Mother Worship Program by delivering a written prayer for the Salt Lake City Council. He wanted to drop all prayer from any government meeting as a means of separation of church and state. So he did this to spite them, I guess. He delivered a draft of his prayer to the city council, which is as follows. Our Mother in Heaven, so he's doing this to spite them. All right, and this is the Salt Lake City, so this is like a bunch of Mormons in government. And they're really bad at separation of church and state in Utah. They're ridiculous. Okay. Our Mother in Heaven, we firmly ask you to guide the leaders of Salt Lake City and Utah so that they may see the wisdom of separating church and state, and so that they will never again perform demeaning religious ceremonies as part of official government functions. We pray that you prevent self-righteous politicians from misusing the name of God in conducting government meetings, and that you lead them away from the hypocritical and blasphemous deception of the public. Salt Lake Tribune, January 19, 1994. On September 7, 1991, the Salt Lake Chapter of Mormon Women's Forum held a meeting on how should we worship God the Mother. It began by reading of excerpts from President Gordon B. Hinckley's address given in April 1991 to the Regional Representatives Seminar. I can hear you knocking. I'm ignoring you because I'm doing my radio show. Come in. Let's see which child this is. Come in. Where's Olivia? Yeah. What is this? Okay, we'll talk about this later. I'm doing my radio show right now, okay? All right. No, Arius, leave it alone. Kim, if you're listening, Eliza has a friend, and Eliza's friend's mom gave her the address and phone number so Eliza can go to see her friend, I guess. So, all right. Let's see. It began by reading of excerpts from President Gordon B. Hinckley's address given in April 1991 to the Regional Representative Seminar. He was instructing the elders not to allow the saints to pray to Mother in Heaven. Now, this drives me nuts. They have not received a thus saith the Lord revelation concerning these topics. So when they give their opinions about it as leaders of the church, they are actually giving their opinions because they have not received thus saith the Lord revelations that they present to the church for sustaining vote, which is how it's supposed to be done, by common consent. How it's supposed to be done, but they give their opinions. Arius, stop. Go get Olivia and have her come get Arius. So, technically, can have his wife not. I was married to President Hinckley's great niece, and she was always throwing things that President Hinckley said in my face. Now, I love President Hinckley. We used to go to church with him. I was at Marjorie's funeral when she died. I've been to her grave, and I've been to President Hinckley's grave many times. My grandparents were friends with President Hinckley. And Marjorie Hinckley, Gordon B. Hinckley and Marjorie Hinckley. They are family friends, okay? but they have opinions. Like this whole idea that you're not supposed to have hair that goes down to your collar, which is, hold on. Go downstairs, you guys, go downstairs and turn on. Where's Lydia? Why takes you so long to come up here? Get Arius. No, you're not allowed to eat ever again. Mom's getting pizza, and she'll bring it home in a minute. That's my daughter, Hungry, who comes home every day and says, I'm hungry, and I keep telling her her name's Amberly, but she don't listen to me. Anyway, Olivia, close my door, go downstairs, put on the good dinosaur so he can watch it downstairs, okay? Oh, that's fine. I don't care. Go. All right. Thank you. All right. She says, I'm going to clean everything up because I don't want to do the basement. She's got another thing coming. So Kim's sister and her husband and daughter are coming here from New Hampshire. So we're trying to get the house ready for extra people. And anyway... So getting back to what I was talking about before, my ex-wife used to throw it in my face all the time that my hair was a little bit longer and that it was getting close to touching the collar of my shirt when I went to church, which apparently is forbidden. Okay, so I guess Jesus Christ would never be allowed at BYU or in the church because his hair would actually go past the collar. Like, they make up these stupid rules, and it's the same thing that Jesus had a problem with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had rules that they made up that were man-made that had nothing to do with God or his instructions, and then they would judge people for breaking those rules when we should be humble to God and follow his rules and worship him and not make a man into an idol or worship a man. Like the president of the church. So I'm glad that President Hinckley had all these opinions about God the Mother, but he had never received any written revelation about the topic. And if he had received it, according to the bylaws that God has given us in the Doctrine and Covenants, his job was to present it to the church for sustaining vote to accept it as doctrine within the church. But if he doesn't do that, then it's not doctrine and it's his opinion. And they need to get those things cleared up within the church before they don't care because they're the authority and they're going to give you what they want you to do. And they're going to say, because I'm the prophet, I'm allowed to tell you what to do, which is kind of the whole reason we fought the war in heaven, so that we could have free agency and not be told what to do, that God would give us instruction and he would provide us a way to come back to him. But like Satan's plan or Lucifer's plan was to force everybody to do things and to have free agency taken away from us. So when the church leans more towards what Satan's plan was to try to control through authoritarianism the membership of the church, they are on the wrong side of history. He was instructing the elders not to allow the saints to pray to Mother in Heaven. The four panelists on this occasion presenting differing opinions, with Rodney Turner quoted as saying that although the meeting's title presupposed that worshiping Mother in Heaven is appropriate, there is no justification in the gospel setting for it. He said Mother worship has its roots in pagan sex and fertility rites and ritual prostitution, which is true. But let's get back to the meaning of the word worship. We don't worship our mother in heaven because in order to worship, we have to submit ourselves to her and to her instructions and her laws, and she doesn't give instructions or laws. So we can't actually worship. We can speak to her. We can know about her. But we can't actually worship her unless we're doing it the way the pagans do it, which is an incorrect way of worshiping. And just because Satan has hijacked Heavenly Mother and turned it into something else doesn't mean that there isn't truth in the beginning of the knowledge of it. He said Moses spoke against it, and it reappeared in Catholic worship of Mary. I'd like to know where Moses spoke against it. If praying to Mother in heaven is so important, why wasn't it revealed in the Restoration, he asked. But not everything was revealed in the Restoration. As I said before, Doctrine and Covenants section 124, Jesus actually says, if you do these things, I will begin to reveal things which have been kept hidden from before the foundation of the earth. But those things hadn't been revealed yet because they didn't finish the temple. God the Father, the Most High, never came to restore the fullness of the priesthood in the Nauvoo temple. And Revelation went from a full-on waterfall down to a drip and then just completely gone. We're in a drought right now. The church is in a complete drought. It's just, there's no revelation given. It's been over 100 years since there has been any revelation added to the canon. All right, let's see here. Turner said that to continue to pray to Mother in heaven after the prophet and first presidency has said not to, is to rationalize yourself to apostasy. You can't get ahead of the prophet. Satan will carefully lead you to hell, singing praises to our mother in heaven. Sunstone Magazine, October 1991, page 60. I would like to know how he got the information that people are going to be led to hell by talking to Heavenly Mother. That isn't even alluded to in Scripture. Like these Pharisees and Sadducees that make up traditions and then judge everybody by their made-up traditions is wicked in the extreme. Yet they ignore the actual written tradition or the written scriptures that tell us, you know, one man is not should not own that which is above another, wherefore the whole world lieth in sin. And if you'll be a Zion people, you must be equal in all things. Although they'll ignore those all day long. But if somebody decides to have conversations with Heavenly Mother or even just pray to her, not knowing whether she's listening or not, like that's going to lead us to hell. Do you think God is so petty that if you speak to his wife, that he is going to condemn you and destroy you in hell? Like, I don't understand where these Pharisees, and we have a huge problem with Phariseeism mostly Phariseeism in the church today with all of their traditions and their rules and their so-called sins that God never gave, that they judge people. And that's why there's so many people that they know that Joseph Smith was a true prophet, but they don't want anything to do with the church. I have met so many people like that because you've got these overzealous, judgmental Mormons that look down their nose with all their man-made traditions and judge people according to the laws that they themselves have made up that are not from God, but then they ignore what God has actually said. At an earlier symposium, a similar condemnation had been vocalized. A cover-up was exposed at BYU's J. Reuben Clark Law School recently. Several speakers at the 32nd Annual Symposium on the Archaeology of Scriptures pointed accusing fingers back through time. They held two groups of people responsible for covering up valuable information about ancient Hebrew goddess worship. Dr. Raphael Pate, I guess that's what it renowned Hebrewologist and anthropologist said goddesses were worshipped most of the time by most Jewish people, even in the temple. But the Bible writers only refer to it as idolatry and condemn it as utter abomination. Church News, October 30th, 1983, page 7. And so before the captivity of Babylon, during the days of Jeremiah and Lehi and Daniel, they actually had acknowledgement of Heavenly Mother. And you see it throughout Hebrew writings and artwork that, and it wasn't idolatry. Heavenly Mother was accepted and part of the knowledge of the Hebrews before the Babylonian captivity. After they went into Babylon, you don't see it anymore, because the actual Babylonian pagans stamped it out. Kim, did you have something to say?
Yes, but it has nothing to do with the Babylonian takeover, reign, whatever. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that.
Okay,
go ahead. I forgot curtain, and that was like what I put on my reminder, and now my 6B just reminded me. And I'm like, oh, they're like 10 minutes too late, and I already ordered the food. And now I'm like, do I run back over and get them?
You can if you want.
They have more of a selection if I get them out here. I can get them at that Family Dollar place out there, but I don't know if I can get all matching ones.
Just go back to Walmart. We can do this tomorrow. I don't have to go to work early in the morning. I can go out there tomorrow with you and get all the things.
So we're doing it now.
Or we can go out there tonight.
And we're just going to be at the house, and we're going to do everything and get it done so that tomorrow,
dear.
Maybe I'll go visit him.
This doesn't have anything to do with the program, so
that's
I love you.
Okay.
bring me pizza. It's pizza movie night, by the way. So, just so everybody knows. What, Kim?
Oh, nothing. I was just saying, I know. I ordered it already. It's almost ready, and I forgot the curtains, and then I was like, no!
Okay. All right. So, getting back to Mother in Heaven. it was stamped out during that time period. In fact, the Book of Lehi, which I have read, talks about it a little bit. But archaeology talks about it as well. They know that these things were a thing. And going back to what that other guy was saying, Heavenly Mother is part of the Restoration. We know about Heavenly Mother because of the Restoration. Joseph Smith received information about Heavenly Mother, and we do not have all of the revelations that he received in the church today. There are missing revelations. There are revelations that were destroyed by Brigham Young when they left out of Nauvoo. All of the documents that he didn't want to have, he loaded them up onto another wagon. And so remember the saints went across the Mississippi River and it was all frozen over and everybody was fine and they all went one way. Well, he had the overloaded wagon that they put all the documents in that they didn't want. And they ran it over the ice in a thinner portion of the ice, and it fell through the ice and was completely destroyed and lost to history. Brigham Young did that. but we have allusions to those revelations when you read the journals of people like Eliza R. Snow and other people that talk about Joseph taught these things. Joseph taught a lot of things that we don't have in the church today. It was restored. It was intentionally destroyed by Brigham Young. God is trying to restore again those things which men have destroyed. He's trying to restore those things which are part of the restoration. And he's trying to restore more than that. Like I said before, that if they would have been obedient, God was going to reveal things that had been kept hidden from before the foundation of the earth. God wants to restore so much to us, but our traditions and our unbelief get in the way of him actually restoring the things that he wants to restore. And some of the stuff that he's restored to me, I don't even like talking about it because it goes so far against our culture and traditions that people will be like, what? You know, like our Gentile traditions are not the same as the Hebrew traditions. In fact, if we're Gentiles and we go and we read the laws and the covenants in the Old Testament, some of them are very offensive because of our traditions. And we think that we are all right and that God is wrong, and the ancient Hebrews were wrong for the traditions that they had originally in the Old Testament that were part of Torah. You know, so God wants to reveal so much, but we have these traditions and we have this unbelief that stop him from speaking to us. Continuing on, we're on page 81, by the way, for those of you who are reading along. We are witnesses of further appeals made by both men and women who are asking for a new consciousness, a mass awareness of the new truths that herald the need for change, because they, the women, can give a better example of leadership through their sensitivities. That's end quote. J.E. Chapman's paper, Dissent in the Church, page 15. Apparently some of the Jews fell into the worship of a mother in heaven. Christ kept his first estate. Lucifer lost his by offering to save men in their sins on the honor of God or on his father's honor. Christ hated sin and loved righteousness. Therefore, he was anointed with holy oil in heaven and crowned in the midst of virtue and smiled upon a son that kept the faith as the heir of all things. In fact, the Jews thought so much of this coronation among gods and goddesses, kings and queens of heaven, that they broke over all restraints and actually began to worship the Queen of Heaven, according to Jeremiah. So Jeremiah the prophet. And like I was saying, like, you can take something too far as well. So during the days of Jeremiah, they knew about Heavenly Mother, and that was lost after the Babylonian captivity, and then it was restored again through the prophet Joseph Smith as part of the restoration. But that particular quote was W.W. Phelps in Times and Seasons, Volume 3, page 758. The Jews told Jeremiah that they would continue to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, because when they did, then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. Jeremiah chapter 44, verses 17 through 18. So they were doing pagan things in order to... It's like, okay, if I go to God and I create an altar to the God that actually exists, Jehovah our Elohim, and I offer up drink offerings and other pagan rituals to worship God our Elohim, Jehovah our Elohim, that is wrong. If they're doing the same thing to God our Mother, that's wrong, and they shouldn't have been doing that. People take things too far, but just because they take things too far doesn't mean there isn't a mother in heaven. It sounds like a good argument in favor of worshiping the Queen of Heaven. However, Jeremiah didn't buy it. He warned them that because they did vow to the Queen of Heaven and make offerings to her, among other things, the Lord had said, "Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there will be an end of them." And you can find that in Jeremiah chapter 27. No, it's Jeremiah, hold on, chapter 44, verse 27. The Jews were not the only ones involved in worship of Mother in Heaven. It was soon taken up by the Catholics, and the Catholics are Rome hijacking early Christianity. It was not part of the worship in the New Testament, but soon followed. And like, there's a lot of things that they changed when they hijacked Christianity, which we've talked about on this program before. So just because things are missing, like we read something last week that is from Aria, who is an eyewitness of Jesus Christ and is actually one of his wives. Oh, they got to get rid of that as soon as they can. You know, they keep things in the Vatican or they destroy them in the catacombs or the libraries. You know, which some people have been allowed to go into and actually find things, like Nehemiah Gordon. But this is all part of the hijacking of early Christianity. So just because we don't see things in the New Testament, like for instance, Phoebe is called a deaconess in the New Testament, which alludes to female priesthood. But the translators of the King James translators couldn't have any of that. So instead of saying deaconess, which the original word was deaconess, they changed it to servant. So now in your King James version of the Bible, you read over it thinking that Phoebe was just some servant. She was actually more than just a servant. But this is the kind of corruption which men do, because Satan wants to get his claws into truth and destroy it. The historian John W. Draper wrote, quote, "Nestor was deeply imbued with doctrines of Aristotle and attempted to coordinate with them with what he considered the orthodox Christian tenets. Between him and Cyril, the bishop or patriarch of Alexandria, a quarrel according arose. Cyril represented the paganizing, Nestor the philosophizing party of the church. This was the Cyril who had murdered Hypatia. Cyril determined that the worship of the Virgin as the Mother of God should be recognized, but Nestor was determined that it should not. In a sermon delivered in the Metropolitan Church at Constantinople, which is in Turkey, he vindicated the attributes of the Eternal, the Almighty God, and can this God have a mother? He exclaimed, in other sermons and writings, he set forth with more precision his ideas that the Virgin should be considered not as the Mother of God, but as the Mother of the human portion of Christ, and that that portion being as essentially distinct from the divine as is a temple from its contained deity. initiated by the monks of Alexandria, the monks of Constantinople took up arms in behalf of the Mother of God. The quarrel arose to such a pitch that the emperor was constrained to summon a council to meet at Ephesus. Conflict between religion and science, page 71. Out of these conflicts and superstitions came the doctrine of Mariology, or Mariology, Mariolatry. This was a form of feminine worship that seemingly arose from the ashes of the apostate Egyptians in their worship of Isis, a deity that was eventually regulated into the realm of deity among the spiritual ignorant Romans and Greeks. Hold on here. My co-driver was just telling me he's not working tomorrow, so I can't work tomorrow, which I don't want to do, but it's, oh my gosh. It just reset. Oh, let me see if I can find where we were before. Let's see here. I usually try to keep track of the percentage, and I think I know where we're at. Yep, here we are. We're on page 83 for those of you who are reading along. I'm not falling for that one again. My co-driver, my schedule is screwed up. Okay, I do want to take Friday night to Saturday night off as the Sabbath, and I want to go to church on Sunday as the Lord's Day. But I have to drive nights, which is really hard to do, which I enjoy driving nights because I like the peace of not having to deal with everybody else. But I also have to watch my son on Mondays and Fridays. So I work Monday night through Thursday, through Friday night. I take Thursday during the day off so I can sleep, and I take Thursday night off so that I can be awake for my son and not be sleeping all day because I'm too exhausted to even watch him on Friday when I have to watch him. And then on Saturday and Sunday, I work during the day, which helps me break up the week. But also, if I work during the day on Sunday, I'm able to be awake and watch my son on Monday. So that's my schedule. So my co-driver was just telling me he is not working tomorrow. If he was working tomorrow, I would have had to have gone into work tonight so that I could be awake on Monday when I have to watch my kid. So there was also the worship of Ceres, another matriarch who came into being along with other ancient mothers of the gods. The entire silence of history respecting the worship of the Virgin down to the end of the 4th century proves clearly that it was foreign to the original spirit of Christianity and belongs among the many innovations of the post-Nicene age. In the beginning of the 5th century, however, the worship of saints appeared in full bloom, and then Mary, by the reason of her singular relation to the Lord, was soon placed at the head. History of the Christian Church by Schaeff, Volume 3, pages 422 through 423. Another part of this worship of Mary over Christ was the introduction of the Candlemass, which was a festival introduced by Pope Gelasius. I'm pretty sure I just slaughtered that name, in the year 494. With lighted candles, there was a procession of marching and singing as they walked out of the church and through the city as a ceremonial purification of the Virgin Mary 40 days after the birth of Jesus. This came on the 2nd of February and was also a part of the memorial to Jesus was presented at the temple where he met Simon and Anna, and that Simon and Anna are in the New Testament. In fact, Anna was a prophetess. After 650 AD, a ceremony was initiated called the Nativity of Mary. After the 9th century, another festival was started called the Presentation of Mary. At the time of Origen, in the 4th century, Origen was a church father who wrote a lot. Some believed and taught that Mary had suffered martyrdom, which further catapulted her veneration. See Luke chapter 2, verses 34 through 35. Mary actually retired up in Scotland after Jesus Christ was murdered on the cross and he was resurrected. Joseph of Arimathea, the tomb that Jesus was placed in, was Jesus's great uncle. Joseph of Arimathea was a Sadducee, but he also made his money by trading tin and other trade deals, whatever. He was a rich dude. He took the family of Jesus with his wives and children and other of the disciples up out of the Roman territory so that they wouldn't also be murdered by the Romans and the Jews up beyond Hadrian's Wall in the area that is, the Hadrian's Wall is still there. It's Scotland, which the Romans tried to conquer and never could conquer, at least during that time. They could get up to Hadrian's Wall and the Scots were not having it. So the ancestry of Jesus Christ with his children is in Scotland. And the Scottish know it. And I know it. I'm Scottish. I've got Scottish royalty in my genealogy. Kim's actually seen those lines of genealogy, but that's where Mary died. She died in Scotland. What is now current day Scotland? I don't know what it was called back then, but it wasn't part of Britain and it wasn't part of Rome. It was like they and Joseph of Arimathea, he actually would trade tin up there. And that's how he made his money. So anyway, Kim, did you have anything to say about any of that? I can see that she's still on the studio.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
Go
ahead. I've been listening a lot, but I don't really have a lot to comment on it because I am trying to pick out curtains by myself, and we all know what a struggle that is. So.
Oh, yeah. My wife, she does not like making her decisions, which means that I always tell her to choose because I want to help her.
You know.
So she'll probably be in the Walmart till they kick her out later on tonight. And we'll all eat cold pizza when she finally gets home because it'll take her forever to actually choose some curtains.
I chose Emmett.
Oh, you did. Good. Okay.
But that was
dark curtains. So the curtains in our bedroom are beautiful.
Yeah, they have some like that, but they have designs on them a little bit, like gray squares or whatever. And I do love that color because you know me. But then I'm like, well, you like black, and I don't really want black everything in the living room. But
black is great because black, when it gets dirty, it does not look dirty.
Yeah.
Actually, I started wearing black. I have scars all over my legs from eczema that it is not bothering me right now, but earlier in life, like, my legs used to bleed all the time. And so I started wearing black because the stains, blood doesn't stain black because black is black.
Well, they don't have the things that go on our curtains. Like, we have to have the rod and everything to put it up because they don't have the kind that go on those little hooks that open and close. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I have to get the rotted kind. They do have one of those shades that you can just pull down, and we could get rid of the curtains for that front window. They have one of those that you just pull down.
I love curtains. I do not like Venetian shades at all. So I like to be able to see the field in front of the house.
Do you like patterns?
I enjoy. I don't care. I like them to be dark. Dark.
Okay.
Maroonish, blue, dark blue, navy blue.
Burgundy.
Yeah, whatever you want to do though.
Burgundy.
What, burgundy? Yeah, that's fine. Okay, I'm going to continue reading. We're 59% done with the reading for today.
Sorry, hold on. Wait a second. 1 second. So I could get two dark burgundy to go on the outside of that window because you're going to need four of these panels to cover up that front window. So I could get two dark ones and then two light ones with a design that matches the burgundy on those ones. Do you like that kind of style?
I don't like light anything because
so you just want them all to match.
I do want them
all to
match.
And do you want them to the floor for all of the windows in that room?
What?
Behind the chair to your right. Well, you're upstairs. So behind the chair and over next to the entertainment center, do you want those curtains to be short or do you want those to also go all the way to the ground?
Oh, those can be short. But I wanted to take that wall unit if they'll sell it to us and put it over there because I think it would match and it would look great. So covering up that window, like, I don't even care if it's covered up. But right now, I guess you can get them. You know what
so
I mean?
You want me to get for all three windows that show in that room?
Yeah, matching window or coverings.
Matching dark.
But Kim.
Yeah.
So the windows on the west side of the house that are higher than the front window, just get something to cover them, but where it doesn't go all the way down to the floor. Because there is there's heaters along the bottom there.
Right.
And we don't want curtains to be hanging on those heaters.
So do you want all of them to be a little bit higher?
Well, I don't want the big window to be higher. I want those curtains to go down to the ground because it's so big in the front of the house.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. All right. So the reason why I brought you up is because, like, I love it when you can, like, tell people, yeah, I have actually seen these records. He's not just making up a bunch of stuff. So when I was talking about – so you know how my aunt sent me my genealogy back to Charlemagne and how it went through Scottish kings and queens?
She sent – yeah. Was it in an email or something? I think I'm the one who got that message.
You are the one who got that message because I can't stand my aunt and I don't talk to her, but for some reason she decided to send it to me.
Yeah,
and
she sent it on Facebook.
Our genealogy that she has done through my mom's side actually goes back through royalty, through Charlemagne and through early Britannia and all of that. But it also goes back into the Bible and back through the Bible all the way to Adam and Eve. So it's kind of cool when she sends us stuff like that. It's like, oh, that's really interesting. But I thought it was also interesting because I didn't realize we were Scottish. Even though I've got a red beard, I thought it was German for some reason because we're German too. But she sent us the genealogy back to Charlemagne, who was the king of France. But that genealogy goes through Scotland for a long ways. And there's like all these kings and queens of Scotland that I have never heard of until she sent that. And then I was like looking them up on YouTube, and there's like documentaries about these people that I am related to that I have never knew about. But anyway, I'll continue the reading. All right, let's see here. It's kind of cool because the genealogy on my dad's side actually goes back to King David in the Bible and through King David to Jesse and all the way back to Adam and Eve that way too. So it's like, it's cool because like on my mother's side, it goes back to Adam and Eve through Ephraim. And on my father's side, it goes back to Adam and Eve through Judah, which is really cool. So, I don't know. I just think it's cool. All that stuff's fun. All right, let's see here. From the 13th century, the Ave Maria stands in the Roman Church upon a level with the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed, and with them forms the basis of the Rosary, History of the Christian Church by Schaeff, Volume 3, page 425. And the 19th century, quote, the festival of the Immaculate Conception, which arose with the doctrine of the sinless conception of Mary, and or is interwoven with the history of that dogma down to its official and final promulgation by Pope Pius IX in 1854, which is also found in the same book, but volume 3, page 428. The Catholic Church displays more statues and paintings of the Madonna than of Christ, and the prayers of intercession are directed more to the Mother than the Son or the Father. It marks a cardinal difference between the Catholic and the Protestant world. And I would agree that though that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that, but that's what they do, so whatever. And is also another instance of pushing a mortal person between man and God. I agree with that. You shouldn't do that with mortal beings, no matter if they are the mother of God or not. And by the way, Mary's name in Hebrew was Miriam, and not Mary, and not Madonna either, so... Along this line, there is an interesting account of the Catholic Church even having a woman pope for over 2 years. And that's because she snuck away in there. Let's read about it, though. And again, admitting that the priesthood remained intact till the time of Pope Joan, the chain certainly must have been broken then, for it is known that she obtained the stool under the disguise of a man. So this woman, dressed up as a man, became a monk, went through all the stuff, and eventually was chosen to be the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church. The disguise, and the trick was not discovered till an illegitimate young pope was born. The result of the criminal intercourse with a domestic John, or Pope John, or Pope John the Eighth, as she styled herself, died on giving birth to this child, having held the popedom for 2 years, 1 month, and 2 days. Now it is not supposable that she held a priesthood, for we have no account in Holy Writ that God ever intended that a woman should be the head of the church. And that is the end quote. The priesthood, where it is, or who has it, Elder William W. Ritter, Millennial Star, Volume 27, page 818, December 1865. That's interesting. The scriptures speak of her as the mother of the Lord, but that has become the mother of God. Her true place in scripture is modestly in the background, and events surrounding her birth and death are unknown. That's because they got rid of it all. It should be known, but whatever. Let's see. After the 4th century, it was taught that she was a married virgin, a wife never touched by her husband Joseph, and dedicated to a perpetual purity and virginity, which is stupid. She had children after Jesus. Jesus was the oldest of her children. The brother of the Lord, the brother of Jesus, where did he come from? Joseph and Mary had children. Anyway, the doctrine of Immaculate Conception of Mary was for the first time announced in 1140 AD at Lyons, which is in France, but became an issue between the Franciscans and the Dominicans until established by papal decree in 1854. So from 1140 AD to 1854, they argued about it. The historian Philip Schaeff describes some of the historical background. Quote, from this Mariology follows Mariolatry. If Mary is, in the strict sense of the word, the mother of God, it seems to follow as a logical consequence that she herself is divine and therefore an object of divine worship. Okay, but the scriptures talk about there being gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God. We worship one God. We don't even worship Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. We don't even worship our Father. We worship our Father's Father, Jehovah our Elohim. Michael is God the Creator. That is the Adam God doctrine. It was taught by Joseph Smith and also more opened up by Brigham Young and Heber C. Kimball and others. But we worship Jehovah our Elohim. We venerate Adam, who is Michael, who is God the Creator, who is our Father, and we worship and we praise Jesus Christ for doing what he did. But the instructions given to us through Moses were given to Moses by Jehovah our Elohim. When God creates a new heaven and a new earth, we will worship Michael, who will be our Elohim, and Jesus Christ will become our Father and Adam of the world, and God the Witness will become the Redeemer of that world. But we won't worship God the Witness, and we will not worship Jesus as an Adam. We will worship the one who is assigned by God the Eternal Father and the Elohim as our Elohim. And in that next world, that will be Michael. And Jehovah will move up in his glory and his exaltations. So just because there are gods many and lords many doesn't mean that we worship those gods many and lords many. Jesus Christ is a God, but we worship one God. Our Father is one God, but we worship a God above him. And anyway, we actually pray to God the Eternal Father when we're doing sacrament. Has anybody ever noticed that? And nobody even knows who God the Eternal Father is. They say, oh, his name is Elohim. No, that's a title. That means the mighty ones or the gods. There's lots of different Elohims in the original manuscripts and the original wording of the Hebrew scriptures. In fact, Moses was called an Elohim. All it means is the mighty ones, or to us who have been infiltrated by paganism, the gods. God the Eternal Father's name is Adam, amen. God the Eternal Mother, who stands at his side, is Eve. When Adam, when Michael became Adam and Ashura became Eve, they were doing that to take upon themselves the name of God the Eternal Father and God the Eternal Mother. And when we pray in sacrament, we pray to God the Eternal Father in the name of Jesus Christ. We skip over Jehovah, our Elohim. We skip over Michael. We skip over all these. But we come to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the one that brings us back in alignment through his atonement, through our through the redemption. The first instance of the formal invocation of Mary occurs in the prayers of Ephrem Sirius around the year 379 AD, addressed to Mary and the saints, and attributed by the tradition of the Syrian church. The more certain example appears in Gregory Nazianzen around 389 AD, who is his eulogy on Cyprian relates to Justinia that she besought the Virgin Mary to protect her threatened virginity. Oh, I can't read these words, and my mouth's getting tongue-tied. I wish Kim was home so she could read for me. Let's see here. Just trying to figure out. So in these books, instead of giving the quote, they'll say, "I bid," which means look at the last quote. And I'm like, okay, which one was the last quote again? Whatever the last book that we quoted was, it's volume 3, page 422. I hate it when Ogden does that. It drives me, like, just give me the name of the reference and stop putting IBID. IBID drives me nuts. Anyway, in his day, Jesus continually opposed and warned against the traditions of his society. That's true, because they added things to scriptures that weren't there. Ugh. This warning should be heeded today as well, for the traditions can be very devastating to religion. They often merge with the central theme of local religions almost without the people knowing what has happened, and it drives me nuts. There's so many traditions in the church today that have nothing to do with scripture, that people think that, oh, this is a sin because so-and-so said it's a sin. If they contradict the Bible, the Book of Mormon, or the Doctrine and Covenants, you have to set them down as imposters, according to Joseph Smith. And calling something sin that isn't a sin, like, oh, it drives me insane. Drives me insane. Anyway, let's see here. Eugene England painted a clear picture of these dangerous influences and how they can work even in the Mormon church. And I enjoy Eugene England. He's actually a pretty good writer. Oh, seriously? Okay, I'm trying to get back here. Okay. Eugene England, good guy. I like reading his work. Certain beliefs are imported from the prevailing culture than what seem like supportive ideas from Mormon doctrine or practices of the church are combined with the cultural beliefs, and the combination given authoritative support by statements from some church leaders or teachers of religion. These statements are usually tentative or merely personal at first, but as they are repeated, they become a more dogmatic and semi-official until they become independent of the person who first tentatively expressed them and are acceptable as official doctrine by many or even most of the church, though they are not accepted by all church leaders and may in fact be directly repudiated by at least some, end quote, are all alike unto God. Sunstone, April 1990, page 24. All right, Kim is texting me. Kim, that's white. You want white? Kim, you don't want white. You can unmute yourself if you need to talk to me, Kim. Oh, and see, it did it again. It just reset. This is why I hate reading text messages. Oh, of course, you got to send another text message. Now I got to go find my place again. Go ahead, Kim.
I am sending it to you because I can't make this kind of decision. It doesn't have everything. I need all these
messages. Will you just come home with the pizza and we'll go out? I will go out with you and we will go and I will... I'll make the decisions here, young lady.
Okay. I make the decision. I have Emmett in my hand. I've got Emmett. That's good, right? Good job.
Wait, how do you have
right?
Emmett?
No, I have Emmett's curtains. I have those. I made that decision.
Oh.
That was easy.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I will come out because I have... A lot of people don't know this, but I have impeccable interior design skills. I was waiting. That was
not,
a delayed laugh.
It's not that I can't do it. I just can't. It has to be perfect. I'm very meticulous. And so when I'm looking at it, I'm like, they have to match. I wouldn't mind having the inside lighter. Like, I have my own little style. But he's like, it needs to all always be black or whatever. And I'm like, I can't do that with what they have here.
Dark colors, Kim. Dark colors. I don't need black all the time. I want dark
colors
with dark furniture and dark leather and dark, because I like dark, because dark doesn't stain. There's a method to my madness. Anyway, bring that pizza home, and I will go out with you, and we will get the proper curtains.
Okay, so do you want me to bring home these ones for Emmett, or no?
No, just leave them out there, and then we'll go out together, and then you can show me the ones that you chose for Emmett, and we'll figure it out.
Okay, but what about getting all the other stuff we have to get done and moved before you go to work?
Kim?
Yeah?
I'm hungry. In fact,
me too.
I am so hungry. I'm nauseous. I'm hungry. So hungry.
Okay.
And I can't wait for you to be kicked out of the store when they close because you never made the decision. So it will be faster for you just to come home, and then we will go back out together.
I'm saying it. It's ridiculous.
I know it is.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm going to finish this reading. We're at 85%, so.
Okay.
All right. The worship of our Mother in Heaven is only one of many doctrinal issues that individual members have tried to introduce into the church. Worship of our Mother in Heaven is only one of the many doctrinal issues that, okay, individual. And like, anyway, I'm going to just leave that one alone. Others have come through social or political influences as pressure mounts over an issue from outside of the church or from inside of the church. It frequently has become accepted as authoritative or official, even as the will of the Lord, even though they don't get revelation concerning a lot of these things. At a recent conference for women in Minnesota, which several churches contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars, the following April 1994 news item was released mentioning their worship, their worship of a female goddess. The Church of England's ordination of 32 priestesses last month may have grabbed the headlines and ended all hope of bridging the century-old rift between Canterbury and Rome, but America...
I can't hear you anymore, so I'm not sure if you dropped or not.
escalate.
Did you drop
more people? I think I did because my. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but I couldn't hear you for the last like minute and a half.
That's weird because I just noticed that when my headset connects, it will give me a banner notification. And it'll tell me my headset is connected, but I didn't disconnect my headset, and it didn't say anything, so I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I need an iPad mini to do my radio show.
Okay, finish the reading.
I've been teasing my wife about the iPad mini for a while, because I found out that you can actually get a line of service to your iPad. And I've been waiting for the internet company to actually put fiber optics in, and they were supposed to do it last year, and it still isn't done yet, and I'm getting tired of not having the internet, and I used to do videos all the time, and I can't do them anymore, and then I have to do these radio shows using my headset calling in, and things break up all the time. I get all kinds of problems like we just had. But anyway, let's see here. So I'll go back a couple of pages and read what probably got dropped. The worship of our Mother in Heaven is only one of many doctrinal issues that individual members have tried to introduce into the church. Like, I don't know, Joseph Smith. He didn't say worshiper, but anyway, that's where it stems from. And Eliza R. Snow talked about it. Different people in early church history talked about it. So that's where we get the ideas from. And even there's been hymns written about it. Others have come through social or political influences as pressure mounts over an issue from outside or inside the church. It frequently has been accepted as authoritative and official, even as the will of the Lord. At a recent conference of women in Minnesota, for which several churches contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars, the following April 1994 news items were released mentioning their worship of a female goddess. The Church of England's ordination of 32 priestesses last month may have grabbed the headlines and ended all hope of bridging the century-old rift between Canterbury and Rome. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm related to Henry VIII, too. And I think he's the one that started the Church of England. I don't know. I am fascinated by all of that stuff. Let's see here. And that's on my mom's side that I'm related to him. Once you get into royalty, like, you'd be surprised how many people you're related to, because interbreeding much, a little bit, they wouldn't breed with the commoners, so everybody's related to everybody. Anyway, let's see here. The Church of England ordination of 32 priestesses last month may have grabbed the headlines and ended all hope of bridging the centuries old rift between Canterbury and Rome, but American seismographs were picking up a different rubble. The fallout from last fall's Reignite event, Reimagine event, reports this month's Christianity Today has continued to escalate as more people have discovered the depths of its unorthodox feminine worship and teaching. Participants in a conference held last November in Minneapolis were told to seek inspiration from pantheistic religions and Gnostic gospels, and prayers were offered to Sophia, a wisdom goddess that some apostate associate with the creation. Our maker, Sophia, and that's not the name of God, the Eternal Mother, or God, our Mother. Our Maker, Sophia, we are women in your image, feminist leaders chant. With our warm body fluids, we remain the world of its pleasures and sensations. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and weird stuff, said the feminist theologian Dolores Williams. The event was funded by, among others, Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, Church Women United, the United Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, the American Baptist Church. Well, that's weird. I never thought the Baptists would go for such a thing. Not all members of these bodies, it is said, are pleased. Ah, yeah. That would be the Baptists. They're not pleased. Anyway, but that comes from a quote by Arizona Republic by William Cheshire, April 12th, 1994. What is a strange historical review. As apostasy rears its ugly head, the false doctrines of the past come with it. The Mormon Church, unfortunately, is not exempt from such temptations and influences. And when we come back on tomorrow, on Monday, we'll be reading the rest of the chapter, part two, which is actually going to be shorter than this portion. And we're going to be talking about the King and Queen of Heaven. So Fundamentally goes live every Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 5 p.m. through 7 p.m. Eastern Time. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827, and we do not have anybody in the chat room or on the studio except for me and my wife. So I think we're done with the program for today. Kim, did you have anything else that you wanted to say before I call it quits for the weekend?
Nope.
Okay. All right. For those of you that don't know, I actually did two programs today. I did one at 8:30 a.m. from 8:30 to 10:30. I posted something about I think it was about One Mighty and Strong. And somebody in one of my groups says, I wonder if this person knows who he is. And I said, yes, I know exactly who I am. And she says, oh, how did you come to that conclusion? And I said, well, I will share some stuff with you. But it mainly happened through different experiences that I had from 1995, 96, 97, and then 2003, and then 2013, where I completely figured, oh, my God, he told me to kneel down before him and ask him who I am instead of ignoring him and ignoring everybody else and, like, just thinking that I'm just normal and whatever. Anyway, I'm not normal. And it's not delusions of grandeur. I didn't want this. But God told me who I am, and he showed me why I was called, why I've had my calling election made sure, why I've had my experiences that I've had. And it's been a while since I've talked about all of that, so I did talk about that on a program just before this one. So if you're interested in why I do the radio shows or my personal spiritual experiences, which God has told me to be bold about, then you can go listen to that radio show or podcast. It's on iTunes. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening to today's program. And like I said, we'll be back on with part two of Holy Priesthood, Volume 3, Chapter 6, when I come back on Monday. So thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless. And goodbye.
school of the prophets, the first oath and covenant of the priesthood. All those who enter into the school of the prophets or the Relief Society shall have taken the oath and covenant of the priesthood upon them, which oath is done by raising both hands to the square and saying, O Father, unto thee I pledge my oath. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I will do all in my power to bring thy kingdom upon the earth. I covenant with thee that I will take thee as my law, and I will obey thy revelations unto me, whether they be revelations given to me or to another, but which are confirmed to me. It is the same. I know that ye cannot fail, and that I must obey the law upon which any blessing is predicated to get the good of that blessing. Even so, amen. Brothers and sisters, welcome to the school of the sons and daughters of the gods, even the school of magi and of prophets and of seers, and of priests and priestesses, kings and queens. I am the teacher that hath been appointed for this school, and I am standing in my place at the head of the circle, for there shall be established a circle with a triangle in the middle. The teacher and priest at the head of the circle is Elijah. The king upon the right side is called Messiah, and the magi upon the left is called Elias. You have come unto the house of the Lord to receive your second endowment. In the school of the prophets and in the Relief Society, the mysteries of God shall be revealed unto you in the bonds of brotherhood, sisterhood, charity, and love. All the rooms which ye shall meet in for the school of the prophets from this day forth shall be dedicated as a temple unto the living God, which is his house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God. Wherefore, if ye will obey the order of this house, ye will speak in turn, walk in turn, and let the love and charity that ye have one for another grow as ye perform these binding ordinances, for the order of the ordinances in this house alone will expand the love ye have for one another. The dedicatory prayer is a prayer of dedication by the inspiration of the Spirit, dedicating it as a school and temple of God, inviting God into the house or dedicated room. All shall take a white handkerchief and waving them say, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to God and the Lamb. Amen, amen, and amen. Now all those who wish to accept the obligations and blessings of the endowment, please raise your hands. Very well. Washing of feet. The holy priesthood holder washing the feet shall invite the patron to sit down and place a basin of water in front of him to put his feet in. The holy priesthood holder will then take off his garments and set them nearby and gird himself with a long towel like a temple robe over one shoulder. He will then kneel down and begin the washing of the feet, saying, Brother, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son of God, I wash your feet preparatory to receiving your second anointing in the house of the Lord, that you may rule and reign in the house of Israel, or Adam, forever. And at this time wash you clean every whit, that you are now clean from the blood and sins of this generation. I wash you clean of the blood and sins of this generation, and again I wash you clean of the blood and sins of this generation, that you may be called up and come forth in the morning of the first resurrection, and be clean without spot at the judgment bar of God, for you have done your part to warn the people of this generation, ridding your garments of their blood. Wherefore I declare, by the authority of the holy priesthood, that you are clean, and that your sins are forgiven, if ye have repented. And I do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This does not need to be the exact wording, but this is an example of the washing of feet. Salute. Now behold, mine son, after this has been done, he shall be accepted into the school by raising both hands high in the salute, and the priest shall also raise his hands high in the salute, and the priest shall say, Art thou a brother or brethren? I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in token or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which covenant I receive you to fellowship in a determination that is fixed, immovable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, through the grace of God in the bonds of love, to walk in all the commandments of God, blameless, in thanksgiving, forever and ever. Amen. And he that is found unworthy of this salutation shall not have place among you. For ye shall not suffer that mine house shall be polluted by him. And he that cometh in and is faithful before me, and is a brother, or if they be brethren, they shall salute the president or teacher with uplifted hands to heaven with this same prayer and covenant, or by saying, Amen, in token of the same. For behold, these words I gave to Joseph Smith, and they have not been abrogated. This shall be done in every session of the School of the Prophets and the Relief Society. Healing and Blessing. Sisters are to give each other blessings of healing and comfort by the laying on of hands in the Relief Society. Brethren are to do the same when they are moved upon to do so. Brethren and sisters may also bless and dedicate handkerchiefs to assist in the healing of the sick, as well as blessing and dedicating other objects for purposes of power in the priesthood. Objects which are for protection and not for healing should be blessed with a rod or wand. Being married to Christ. Do you have faith that Jesus is the Christ? Yes. Then confess his name and covenant to never deny him as a testimony to the world. The initiate's own words. Then, thus saith the Lord to my messenger, Verily, verily, I say unto you, my son, I give unto you a commandment, declaring unto you that they who receive you receive me, and if they receive me, they receive him that sent you, to salute them with my salutation in remembrance of my everlasting covenant, which I have received you to fellowship. May they receive you also as you receive them, that they may be clean from the blood of this generation, and be received by the washing of the feet, for unto this end was the ordinance of washing of feet instituted, being bound together in the bonds of brotherly love, and sealed together by the covenant of life and peace, which covenant abideth forever with the celestial saints, or in other words, the married to Christ. And he that continueth not in this covenant shall not have place among you, for ye shall not suffer my house to be polluted by them, saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. All those in the school shall then either wash one another's feet, or give the holy kiss in token of the same. And they shall say to one another, Do you receive me to be your friend and brother? Are you willing to salute me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in token and or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which you receive me to fellowship, in a determination that is fixed, immutable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, through the grace of God in the bonds of love, to walk in their commandments of God, blameless and thanksgiving forever and ever? Amen. Amen. Are you willing to show to the world that you are clean from the blood of this generation? Do you covenant with me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the presence of these witnesses, that you will love your companions in life as Christ loves the church, that you will cherish each other, comfort each other, forsaking all others who are not in the holy order, so long as you live? Yes. Having authority, I seal thee, brother, unto the anointed gods, even Christ, both male and female, and seal thee unto myself, as mine own son in the first household of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Now men may be sealed to their wives in the second sealing, by taking them by the hand and saying, Art thou my sister? I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in token or remembrance of the everlasting covenant, in which I covenant to receive you to fellowship in a determination which is fixed, immovable, and unchangeable, to be your friend and brother, through the grace of God, in the bonds of love, to walk in all the commandments of God, blameless and thanksgiving, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Behold, sisters may also make the covenant and say, Amen, in token of the same. Also to the unmarried, I, the Lord, willeth that you should marry in the order, that I may have a pure people, saith the Lord. All who have covenanted to only marry within the holy order, say, Amen. Amen. This order shall not be broken by any until they themselves stand in the garden of paradise, ready to fall, lest they be destroyed. Amen. Amen. Covenant to enter into a united order. The patron receiving it will put his arm to the square and repeat after he who is administering the covenant, saying, I, brother so-and-so, do covenant and promise before God, angels, and these brethren in the united order, that I will consecrate all my mind, strength, and wealth unto this united order, and that I will hold all things in common with my brethren according to my stewardship, and I do this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Baptism into the united order. After dedicating the water and going into the water as described above, you hold onto the one being baptized and raising your right arm to the square, you say, Brother, by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood, which I hold, I baptize you into the order of Enoch, which is the united order before God, and I say this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Of the Holy Spirit, amen. You then immerse them in the water, and then undedicate the water. The meal of the prophets. The members of the school and or relief society shall sit at a table. A glass of wine and a small stack of flatbread shall be provided for each member. A blessing shall be given. O Father, which art in heaven, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, we bless this bread to all the souls which shall partake of it, that they may do it in fellowship and brotherhood, being knit in one through the love of Christ, which is charity. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. O Father, which art in heaven, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, we bless this wine to the souls which shall drink of it, that they may do it in the Spirit, worshipping Thee and their Mother in spirit and in truth, being knit in one through charity, the greatest of all. For we know that if we are not one, then we are not yours. Even so, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. The washing of with alcohol. When only men are present, then there can be a washing with a cloth and alcohol. Brother, having authority, I wash your body clean, that it may be healthy, strong, and full of virtue and power. I wash your sins away with charity, making your garments white, even making thee clean every whit of the blood and sins of this generation. I do this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. The provisional anointing. Brother, by the authority of the priesthood, after the order of the Son, and in the name of Jesus Christ, I pour this holy consecrated oil upon thy head, and give unto you a holy anointing. I anoint and ordain thee a king and a priest of the Most High God to rule and reign in the house of Israel forever. Predicated upon this anointing being sealed, I give thee power to bind on earth and have it bound in heaven, and whomsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, and whomsoever thou shalt curse shall be cursed, and whomsoever thou shalt bless shall be blessed. But remember that these things must be done in accordance with those things which have been done before the foundations of the world. I bless thee that ye shall come forth in the first and holy resurrection, and I even ordain you to be one of the sons of Ammon. I bless thy head and mind that you may receive revelations in carrying on the work. I bless thy eyes that ye may see visions and the eternal worlds. I bless thy nose that ye may smell the sweet smells of the eternal worlds. I bless thy mouth that ye may speak truth. I give thee this holy anointing in the name of Elohim, and in the name of Jehovah, and in the name of the Godhead of this earth, even Michael, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, who presides over the spirits of just men and women made perfect. Amen. Patriarchal blessing. Brother, by the authority of the patriarchal priesthood and the priesthood after the order of the Son, I lay my hands upon your head and give you a patriarchal blessing in the school of the prophets. Then you shall give the blessing by the Spirit, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Council of the Prophets. The keys of the Holy Kiss shall be given. The first or Aaronic sign of the Holy Kiss is made by embracing and kissing the right cheek, and then the left, and then the right again, and saying, Peace be upon you. The second or Melchizedek sign of the Holy Kiss is made by embracing and kissing the right cheek, and then the left cheek, and then the forehead, and saying, Peace be upon you. The third or patriarchal sign of the Holy Kiss is to kiss upon the lips, and saying, God be with you. The first holy kiss is for brethren and sisters in the priesthood and siblings. The second holy kiss is for parent and child in the priesthood or familial bonds. The third holy kiss is for eternal mates or fellow eternal members of the holy order of the opposite gender that you love or are attracted to and feel close enough to, sufficient to merit this kiss. If the motion of this kiss, holy kiss, is not reciprocated, then continue with the first in all charity and love. Let all receive it. Let all who are present give the appropriate holy kiss to those sitting upon their right hand and upon their left, and saying unto them, Peace be upon you, or God be with you, or Shalom in token of the same. That will do. Now the members of the school, or the relief society, shall return to the circle and a rod presented. Brethren and sisters, this rod is the rod of the Word of God, and whoever shall hold the rod hath the right to speak, and all others must be silent until the possessor of the rod hath finished speaking. If you desire to speak, you should put your right foot forward until he who possesses the rod shall give thee the rod. Now if he shall continue to speak long enough after that, that it seemeth he is ignoring a brother or a sister or a mother or a father or a son or a daughter in the Lord, then all shall put their feet out also. He shall then repent himself of speaking and give the rod away. The rod is the word of and law of God, and that which is confirmed by the members, having felt the Spirit, shall be considered scripture. Members shall confirm a saying by raising both hands above their head and repeating it, and then saying Amen, after it hath been proposed for a vote. Behold, brethren, now that we are one, let the mysteries be opened up unto us.